Welcome in, lovers. You're in the Embodied Liberation Lounge. I'm your host, Lola Darling. Let's vibe. Welcome back. Excited to have you back here in the Liberation Lounge, the Embodied Liberation Lounge. And before I drop into today's solo episode, I want to just shout out to a few things coming up in my world in case you want to sneak in there and get in on the juice. So I am starting a new Instagram channel for business, for this revolution, for this movement of elemental embodiment that is yearning to be birthed through me. So you can find me there now instead at The Elemental Body on Instagram and everywhere. And with that, I am also releasing soon my ebook on the sixth element. So if you haven't heard of the sixth element, which we have forgotten, it is the forgotten element. It has been repressed and hidden from our waking consciousness for many, many centuries and eons, and it is begging us to be reawakened, to be embodied, to be turned back on in our bodies and recognized and noticed as an element in all of the world around us and all of nature. So you can tune in to my ebook and grab it. I will leave the link for you in the show notes. And beyond that, there's also a call out just to get you excited that beyond the sixth element, I also have a breathwork modality that is called Six Element Breath. It is based on the six elements. It involves six different breaths. It's amazing for integration and for nervous system flexibility, cultivating nervous system flexibility, and embodying the elemental balance of our elements that we are made up of, right? These six elements, when we can give them just a little bit of our attention each day with intention of like the energetic intention of balancing and breathing into you and creating space for you to move through me and move with me through this crazy human life in this physical world, it helps bring us into a more simplified state of existence that is of integration, the integrated whole, both and, the inner and the outer, the upper and the lower, as within, so without, becoming one again with our elemental nature and with Gaia and the earth and the planets and the stars and the magic and the connection and the love that exists and exudes and permeates all around us and through us when we allow ourselves to tune in and drop into this. So you can join the waitlist for more on that through reading my ebook. And there you will find the waitlist. If you care to know more about the three medicinal philosophies for mind, body, soul, and beyond that, we're expanding into the 12 keys of embodiment for elemental balance. We're starting a revolution in the form of a membership. It will be called House of E Squared, and it is going to be where the bulk of my love, juice, creativity, magic, power, business resides and lives, and it's launching in the fall. So jump on the waitlist there through first getting my ebook. You have to read the ebook and come into understanding with the sixth element and what it is and how you can find it within you and turn it back on. It's yearning to come alive. So head on over there and do that. And today's episode is something that's really deep and dear to my heart. And I want to talk about addiction. And the way that it permeates our lives in so many ways, whether we have a really deep addiction to something that's actually really, really destructive, or a more normalized addiction to something that is like more subtle and less nuanced and there's not as much shame around it. And we're mostly going to be talking about that today, like the more subtle normalized addictions. But I just want to touch on the shameful side of addiction as well, where we have sort of societally accepted that some addictions are okay while shaming and making other addictions bad. But at the end of the day, addiction is addiction is addiction. And addiction is ruling you. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to something, it doesn't matter whether it's on the shameful, bad side of this spectrum, as we may say in society, or the normalized, more subtle side of the spectrum of addiction. Ultimately, at the end of the day, if you have a real addiction to something, it's ruling you. It is ruling your nervous system. It is ruling your mind. It is ruling multiple elements and aspects of yourself in so many ways throughout your day, because that's what addiction does. It permeates through and sort of starts to control us and control the ways with which we're moving through our days and about our lives. And this becomes magnified on the spectrum side, where we maybe are shaming it as society or looking at it as bad, where if, like, you know, we have a heroin addiction or a methamphetamine addiction or a crack addiction or any of that kind of thing, alcohol addiction, right? Like, although that one's a little more normalized, basically that's just magnifying addiction at this wide, magnificent scale of being fully out of control, where it becomes so obvious that the person that is addicted is out of control and not running their own lives, and that the addiction is ruling them. But we fail to see and remember and observe within ourselves and bear witness in others how the subtle ways that addiction also is controlling our lives. For instance, the more subtle, more normalized forms of addiction that we have, that a lot of us have, really, I want to say, you know, it's probably a very large percentage of humans that have an addiction of some sort. Now, the more normalized, starting at, like, the one that's sort of in the middle of these two on the spectrum, I would say is alcohol, right? Where it's like, lots of people are addicted to alcohol, but not necessarily an alcoholic, where, and it's normalized, and it's subtle, they're not realizing that they're addicted to alcohol, but the alcohol addiction is actually ruling their lives, where they can't go more than a few days without alcohol, or even a day without alcohol sometimes, even though they think that, oh, I'm only having a drink or two at night, so I'm not an alcoholic because I'm not getting drunk. They're still addicted to something, and it may not be the alcohol, but the alcohol is what they're filling that addiction with. Now, as we peel back from that to the more normalized, more subtle forms of addiction, we have nicotine and sugar and caffeine, namely coffee, right? And all of these are actually rather normal, where people actually kind of look at you funny if you don't eat sugar or you don't drink coffee or you don't need coffee to wake up in your day, right? Or caffeine to keep going. So, you know, they've become more normalized and therefore it's more subtle and more permeable, and we actually don't even become aware or realize how it's running our lives until it becomes destructive. And then we realize that the addiction is ruling us or taking us over and controlling us. But it doesn't have to take us to the point of destruction for us to become aware of this. We can start becoming aware of this right now by really just taking a self-inventory or a daily inventory of things you do every day that you're attached to, that you can't really, like, see yourself going without, that, you know, you're in a bad mood without it, or you feel lost without it. Things like this, right, is a sign that that is controlling your life, or that it's controlling your nervous system, right? A lot of times it's our subconscious that's addicted and our nervous system that's addicted, so we don't even know that we're addicted to it, because in our minds we're like, oh yeah, I could go without that. But then we go one day, 2 days, maybe 4 or 5 days even without it, and then the nervous system starts to kick in and starts to crave that thing, because it's starting to not be able to function. It's not just not having its normal homeostasis that it's used to, that it's comfortable with being met. And so it starts to act out in various ways, right? We're not going to get into the science and all of that. Really, we just want to talk about how it's working on the mind and the body and permeating us through, so that it's so sneaky and so subtle that it can be really hard to catch. And a little bit later, I will share my story with addiction and subtle addictions and even not so subtle addiction, and how I overcame and have really shifted my whole nervous system state and mental faculties away from dependency. And what it came down to in my own journey, what I really realized and what I see is true for the majority of us that have these more normalized addictions, right? And that is that we may not actually be addicted to the substance, although at a chemical level we probably are, but we're actually addicted to the distraction. We're addicted to the distraction from the present moment, from feeling what's alive in us now, from feeling what is here now that wants to be addressed and felt and taken in to our system. So we distract ourselves. We distract ourselves by smoking that cigarette, or we wake up in the morning even, and it's like we distract ourselves from the present moment because the first thing we put into our bodies before even water a lot of the times is coffee, which is fully acidic and fully just like turning on every function in your nervous system to overload, jacking up your cortisol levels, which are already high when we're waking up. And so it's creating malfunction in the system at a low level, right? But not only that, it's numbing out our nervous system's capacity and ability to be able to feel. And that is what I find most addictions are some form of distraction from feeling. Because feelings can be so invasive and so heavy and burdensome, and like they can take a lot out of us to feel all the things, right? And as someone that feels everything intensely all the time, I'm telling you, it can be exhausting. This is why I smoked for many years of my life, or vaped, or always had to be ingesting nicotine. Even still, I'm still craving nicotine because it helps to turn the volume down on the sensitivity of the feeling body. It can even numb us out. Those of us that are already less empathic and less sensitive, by chugging all the coffee or smoking all of the nicotine or, you know, eating all of the sugar even, or even just eating all of the food and being addicted to eating, we're numbing out the part of us, that solar plexus chakra, if you will, right? That is here to feel, that is here to feel the full spectrum of emotions. And we can have these daily habits that are actually addictions to distraction. But because there are daily habits and our daily routines, we're not even realizing how they are distracting us from feeling, from the very primal existence of our nature, that is to feel, right? Is to let the energy that wants to move through us in the form of energy as emotion. We do these daily habits every day so that then the body is already attuned to turning off those sensations before they even come on sometimes, especially if our morning routine, you know, is this big thing in the morning that's like jacking us up five ways to Sunday to where we're so numb or overstimulated in our nervous system already that there is no space to feel the sensations of our emotions. And on top of that, we bring in the mind, which is our biggest distractor ever from actually feeling what's alive. Instead, it just places all of these stories on top of what we're feeling. And then we numb out with these low-level, subtle addictions, right? So therefore, the greater addiction is actually to distraction. And when we're distracted consistently from feeling our emotions, what happens to all of that emotion? All of that energy and motion that was coming alive as sensation in our bodies and wanted to be felt and wanted to be moved, but wasn't because we numbed out or turned it off or shut it down. So it slowly just starts to store over time, and it gets stored in our bodies, in our tissues, in our guts, in our blood even, right? And in our nervous system, to where over time it just gets more and more solid and more layers on top of it. If we're doing this every day, you know, distracting ourselves instead of feeling what is there, it's just getting more and more solidified into who we are and who we are, and like those layers of stored repressed emotions in our bodies actually makes us rigid. It makes us less open and like fluid and flowing with life, because it's creating all of these blocked pathways in the energetic body and even in the physical body. And going on long enough of not actually like tuning in to what you're feeling and allowing the energy to move, it creates disease. In the same way that addiction creates disease, being addicted to distracting ourselves from feeling our emotions is also creating disease. Just as much disease as some blown out addiction, I can tell you. And you know, this addiction to distraction isn't the only subtle addiction that we have that is rather destructive to our lives, but we can also become addicted to suffering and struggle, and where our nervous system's homeostasis point, its baseline, what it knows as comfortable, is struggle, is suffering. And because of this, it's always going to defend that. It's addicted to the feeling of suffering. And so it's always going to bring you back to that point in your life and in your nervous system to suffering until you can heal that addiction and identity within it and retrain and rewire the nervous system to hold a different truth, right? Just as with being distracted, we have to learn to hold a new truth of allowing ourselves to feel. I will allow myself to feel the emotion without making the emotion mean something. The same goes for being addicted to suffering or struggling. We have to retrain and reprogram the nervous system to be okay with feeling good, with being happy, with things going well, and allow it to reprogram that to its new homeostasis. But it takes time and effort. We have to break that cycle of addiction, and also breaking the identification with. A lot of times with addiction, right, a lot of the hardest part of stepping outside of addiction, and I can tell you this firsthand for myself, is actually breaking our identification with the addiction. Like for me and smoking, that was one of the hardest things, is to break that identification with being a smoker, and then reinforcing that over time. Like when I go out and somebody I used to smoke with offers me a smoke or a vape or something like that, and really having to feel into myself of like, that's not me anymore, and choosing the new pathway over and over again. And this is how we reprogram, and this is how we break the cycle also of addictions, firstly by choosing, but also reiterating that choice over and over, to choose a new identity, to choose a new way of being. We get to break the cycle in this way. So some other of the more subtle yet very destructive things we can be addicted to are dopamine. Which, if we peeled back all the layers of everything I have talked about already in this episode, we could say that at the baseline of all of them is actually an addiction to dopamine, addiction to the coffee or the sugar or the alcohol or the nicotine or any of the things in between, right? Or even of the distraction. What we're filling the distraction with, it's all really an addiction to dopamine, is giving our brain the signal to feel pleased. getting on Instagram, right? That's going to shoot up your dopamine. Listening to something that excites us, right? But we can find healthier ways to feed our addiction to dopamine, or we can totally do dopamine detoxes where we rewire the brain to not be dependent on dopamine in order to be happy. Because that's where the addiction is we feed all of these dopamine receptors in our brain with the things that we're addicted to in order to release a little bit of dopamine in the brain so that we can feel happy, because we're dependent on the dopamine or the serotonin to feel happy. But ultimately, we don't need to stimulate these receptors in order to find a sense of peace and joy in our hearts. Although it can be playful and fun to do so, we don't need to be dependent upon it. Some other subtle things we can be addicted to that could be also an addiction to distraction or destructive in other ways too are working out and exercise, sex, and caffeine, as I already mentioned, right? But these things kind of sneak in, and then over time they can become an addiction to distraction if we're constantly using them in that way. We're using them to feed the dopamine or to escape feeling or to avoid intimacy or to even try and control our circumstances, right? Like I know a lot of people that become addicted to working out, it actually is from being addicted to control. Rather than being addicted to the actual exercise, they're addicted to control of the environment, of the body, of the processes, of all the things. And maybe not. You can also just be addicted to working out as a form of distracting you from the present moment or from your mind and its busy thoughts, right? And that's not to say, like, don't work out. Obviously, work out, exercise. Where it becomes this subtle permeation of addiction, like, only you can understand that within yourself. When you have, like, the compulsion that you can't not do the thing in order to feel good about yourself, that's when it's starting to creep into the territory of addiction rather than a healthy routine. And so, yeah, I mean, with my story, I used to be insanely addicted to coffee as well as nicotine, vaping 5% vapes like all day, every day. I've been addicted to marijuana in my life, although they tell you it's not addicting. I've definitely been in a place in my life where I couldn't not smoke if it was in front of me. And I would say that's an addiction. When you can't say no to something, it qualifies as an addiction in my book. I have also been addicted to alcohol in my early 20s. And that is one that I overcame by changing my DNA in meditation. In my second Vipassana 10-day silent retreat. And I highly recommend that as a useful tool for overcoming anything in the mind, but also resetting the nervous system and healing and gaining control over the monkey mind so that you can feel more liberated to be who you really are and not be controlled by the addiction, right? And let's see, I have some tips for overcoming addiction, especially these more like subtle addictions, if we want to stop them, but they can be harder to stop because they're more ingrained in who we are. We tend to be more identified with them, and the distraction that they're giving us tends to reinforce the addiction at a pretty high level. And first things first, in order to start overcoming one of these more subtle invasive addictions is to become aware of it. Become aware of the addiction. Like, are you addicted to coffee? Do you need to drink coffee every single day to feel good about your day and be feel productive in your day? Then you're probably addicted to coffee, right? Not even just caffeine, but coffee is its own kind of addiction beyond caffeine, because it's a really, really strong plant. And within that, become aware of the addiction. Just that. Just become aware that you are addicted rather than just, a coffee drinker, right? So delineate that for yourself. Are you addicted or are you a coffee drinker? Can you go 2, 3, 4, 5 a week without coffee and then drink coffee again for 5 days and then not for another few days, right? Like, this would be where you're disrupting that habitual addictive pattern and playing with it to see, are you truly addicted or do you just really love coffee? There's a fine line there, you know? And so then if you realize and become aware that you are, yes, addicted, then you have to make the decision. Make the decision for you to break the addiction. And I understand that there's a lot of people that don't want to break their addictions or lose their addictions or get rid of them or stop them. I feel you. And I was you. And nobody's telling you you have to. However, if spirit and body are guiding you, or your adrenals are guiding you, or whatever forces that may be guiding you, possibly just as simple as the emotions wanting to move through you actually want to be felt and not be distracted from, right? This is a good place to start to make that decision of, okay, do I need to release this addiction so that I can feel more of my emotions? This was a catalyst for me. Not only that, it took me 3 years to release myself from 3 things that I was imbibing in as vices pretty much every day, or every day, really. It took me 3 years to cut them out or to rewire the addictive processes that I have with them, and that's coffee, nicotine, and weed. It's taken me 3 years since spirit first guided me to cut these out of my life, to actually cut them out of my life. And now let's say, not cut them out, to stop my habitual addiction to them, because I was actually addicted to the distraction. And let me tell you, now I feel all the things even more, and it can be really challenging, and it's also very, very rewarding to be able to feel everything that wants to be felt through our bodies. So after you become aware and then you make the decision that you're going to change, then you have to give yourself a stop date. I say give yourself a stop date that's like a month out, maybe on the next full moon for releasing, something like that, that's like a couple weeks to a month out, so that you can prepare yourself and prepare your mind and prepare your nervous system that you're going to be stopping something. That way your nervous system is informed and prepared that something's going to change, and it won't just freak out because it hasn't been informed, right? And so then you pick that day out in the future, and then I want you to enjoy your addiction to whatever it may be for the time between now and whenever you picked out in the future as your stop date. Enjoy them, but also while you're enjoying them, you're also going to start rewiring your brain, because if you really want to stop, you're going to have to start like the start stop of the reward thing in your brain and start telling yourself that you don't like whatever it may be. Oh, I don't like this coffee, or this coffee is bad for me, or all of the reasons, really. If you make a list for yourself of pros and cons to the thing that you're addicted to, all of the things in the con side, start reminding yourself of those every time that you go to imbibe in your addiction. And then by the time it's time to stop, you will have this good baseline set in your nervous system and also in your mindset of why this change is happening. And it's going to be something that's you've already started to create the new pathway, even though you haven't stopped doing the thing yet. And then all you have to do is stop doing the habit and the addiction when that day that you placed comes around, and then continue reinforcing your no, right? As the mind and the body starts to freak out a little bit when you first start, like, hold on to that cons list, hold on to that new pathway, and just be choosing a new pathway. It can also be really helpful in the beginning, first like week or two, to replace it with something. So if you have coffee, you can replace it with like hot water and lemon, because that's like, you still have the ritual, right? You're just not like jacking up the nervous system. Or if it's smoking, maybe you replace it with working out. Or if it's working out, maybe you replace it with self-pleasure or meditation or something like that, right? Where you're giving yourself something to do rather than just missing the thing that you're trying to cut out. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's all about coming back into embodied presence, right? embodied presence in the moment rather than distraction. So coming back home to feeling all of your emotions, feeling your truth, feeling the life force, creativity move and pulse through you, and moving from this place in life as the integrated, whole, liberated human that you are. So that's all I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed this episode, because this is really something that's like, I went through this, right? Multiple times, I like did the work. And I can really tell you now that, yes, I still miss tobacco sometimes, but not in the way of like, I miss the addiction. I just miss the plant medicine of it. Or like the experience of coffee, right? Like coffee is a whole experience that like I can still allow myself to enjoy once in a while without needing it every day. Instead, it gets to be a tool in the toolbox for both, really, right? And also with alcohol and also with sugar and all of the things. Like everything can be a tool. It's that breaking the cycle of the addictive pattern and behavior that's the real magic, the real key, because that is actually where we grow and where we transform and where we pull back our control from things outside of us that are controlling us. And we gain so much power back for ourselves. It's also signals to ourselves and our bodies this deep message of, hey, I got you. I trust you. I love you. Now I'm full power. Because these things aren't controlling me. Thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Liberation Lounge. Have a beautiful rest of your day.